someone who puts himself as a vicar of Christ on earth, and someone who denies that you are saved by grace alone. So who is the Antichrist? Not the devil. It's someone from within the church who claims to be ahead of the church. And the spirit of the Antichrist is found in every false teacher who wants God's people to not find Jesus in the flesh as the center of their worship and life, but their own works, their own actions, or a fundamentalism of love, and ignore the price of sin. John, in very simple terms, tells us, test the spirits.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, April 21st, 2024.
Well, there's a new store in town. Maybe some of you have heard of it or seen it or probably stopped by to check it out. I decided to check it out. It's one of the newer coffee shops in town. And as I'm sitting there drinking a cup of coffee and enjoying the flavor, I hear more and more people coming into the store. And every time someone comes in the store, sure enough, wants you to know who they are. And they introduce themselves. They make sure that you know that they're a veteran-owned business. And they want you to know that all the artists on display are local artists. And they invite you to try some of their beverages. But everybody that comes in starts with, I heard about this place. I thought I'd check it out. And then they go and browse. And soon enough, another person comes in and they say, yeah, I'm here to check this place out. You've probably done that when you hear it, whether it's something you're interested in, perhaps a hardware store or a restaurant or a coffee shop. You probably, when you hear of a new place opening up, you want to go and see and find out what it's like. Maybe if the beverages are good or the prices are fair, if the product is good. But do we do that as we ought with everything? You know, examine, check out the things that are around us. What we see in God's Word this morning as we read both what we read earlier in the book of Acts and in John's Gospel and even from John 10, we see God directing his people to check something out, to watch and to take care. There will be people not coming just serving food, but something far more important than food or tools, but spiritual tools and the bread and word of life. And they'll be claiming to serve up this food from God. So what should we do? Well, today we continue our series looking at how we are attaining our resurrection goal. And we're on our way to reach that goal. As God has promised, we will enter the paradise of his kingdom. But as we reach that goal, not only do we have, as we saw, this promise we will be in the flesh with God in the flesh, not only do we have God sending his gospel and wanting us to proclaim the word, preaching repentance for forgiveness, but God tells us we do it with false prophets in the world. We contend for the truth, and we must examine those who teach the word. That's what we'll see as we focus especially on 1 John chapter 4 this morning. We reach our resurrection goal with false prophets in the world. Now John, as he writes, the apostle, writes a book that is very, you might say, easy to read. John puts in very ordinary terms for us. In fact, he calls his people that he writes to his children. You almost might think that he's writing to children because the words are just so basic. But what Paul's really doing for us is he's taken these concepts, these phrases that Paul will often spend illustrations and chapters on explaining to us, and John will take it to his children, and he'll condense it down into a very concise, short summary, even sometimes just summarizing entire spiritual concepts and meals in one word. And John tells us, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And by that word, spirit, John is expounding on something that really captures a lot. You see, when there's someone teaching a word of God, it really is a spiritual matter, and there really is a spirit behind that teaching. We might specifically say that every spirit is either from God or not from God. And every teacher of God's word either speaks by the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God, or in opposition to the Spirit of God. And the devil and this world are influencing those words. When John says, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits, he only sees two different types of teachings. And he says, you're either from God or against God. And that's the test that someone must pass. So he says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And we see him explain what he means by spirits when he says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, of all the simplistic summaries that John has in his word, this one is probably one that people don't like to mention or think about. The thought that there are false prophets. Isn't it easier just to say, well, if there's some food being served here, if this store is open, it's probably a good deal. It's probably going to be fine for me. It doesn't mean necessarily they're serving anything toxic in this food. We don't need to check out what they're serving because they're serving something for me. But John says, don't believe every spirit. That is, don't take every teaching that comes your way and just assume it's safe, even if that teaching comes and claims to come from God. In fact, as we read in John's letter, he'll say, many have gone out from us, John says, that is from the apostles, and they're deceiving. So it doesn't matter where a teacher comes from. It doesn't even so much matter, although it can make an impact, on what seminary or what professor or what school of teaching they claim to have behind them. What matters, ultimately what matters, is that teacher from God? Or, as you test them, do they prove to not be from God? Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, then someone might step back and say, well, how do I know whether that person is from God or not? Pretty simple. John once again gives us a very simple test for his children. He says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. John, speaking to his children, to us, gives us a very simple test. Is Jesus part of the picture? Jesus in the flesh? Or is Jesus not the focus? Then they're from God or they're not from God. Now, this is a very simplistic test, but when John says Jesus has come from God in the flesh, behind that is everything else that John simplifies and that the rest of the Gospels mention. John has so many things in his letter where he talks about love for God, love for God's commands, a very simple way of expressing the Ten Commandments, the law of God. Love for your neighbor, the Ten Commandments. John expresses prayer that we know God hears us. John expresses all the different tests of fellowship and love and truth and light, and basically says, this is what it all boils down to. Are they standing on the foundation of Jesus? Do they have Christ? Now, as we take this test, someone might say, well, there's someone who comes and they claim to believe in God and they're saying they believe Jesus came in the flesh. But behind that phrase, Jesus came in the flesh, is also what John includes in his letter when he says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins and the sins of the world. Not simply to believe Jesus existed or to say, I know there was a man named Jesus. There are many teachers who believe that. Many so-called Christian teachers who say Jesus was a wise man or a guidance. But John says Jesus in the flesh. And he came in the flesh for sinners. Sinners who must acknowledge their sin. And that he came in the flesh to be a sacrifice for our sins. This is the foundation. Oh, but there will be teachers who say, yes, I believe Jesus came and died for sins. But they don't acknowledge that is the only way. You will see those who speak of Jesus and who claim to be from God, but then they'll speak of the viewpoint of the world. They'll say, if Jesus did all that, you need to do your part. John warns, such a person does not acknowledge Jesus because they don't acknowledge him as the only sacrifice. They are not from God. Or maybe someone else will say, you know what? John gets it right. He's very fundamental. He says, just love. And that's all that really matters is love. And they'll ignore John's portions about Jesus coming for sinners and needing to acknowledge your sin. And that there was a sacrifice. He came in the flesh to pay the price, his own blood, for our sin, so that we might walk in the light and turn from sin to the mercy of God. Such a person might acknowledge Jesus came in the flesh, and they might speak of love, but they don't acknowledge the severity of sin and the awesome price that Christ came in the flesh to give. Such a person is not from God. Test the spirits. Don't believe every spirit. Some churches will put on their website, and no, don't misunderstand, I'm not saying we judge a book by its cover, but the first thing that they'll see on their website is, come to our church because we wear casual clothes. And as you scroll down, you'll see, and we want you to live a new life as you serve God. And once again, I'm not judging a book by its cover, but as you scroll down and you don't find anywhere Jesus coming in the flesh as the sacrifice for sin, you might want to test that spirit. You might want to test that teacher and find out if they really teach what God would have us teach, centered on his Son, or if all the other things distract or pull us away. Then John, in very simple terms, describes what false teachers are really doing. He says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. A lot of people don't want to talk about false teachers. How much more don't people want to talk about this, the Antichrist? In fact, it's become such a parody of Christian churches that they'll point to political figures and say, this person is the Antichrist, or they'll look for an Antichrist found in so many different things, but they're missing the point. The Antichrist is not a person of this world, but a person who comes from within the church and who claims to be from God and who sets himself in the place of Christ. The Antichrist is the one who takes that gospel message of Jesus coming in the flesh and distorts it and turns it so that it no longer saves, but it points you to yourself or it dismisses the sacrifice. The Antichrist is real. We don't have time today to delve into this. Many accuse the Lutheran Church of being too much like the Catholic Church, but we could not be any further from that. We acknowledge many will be saved within the Roman Catholic Church, but the Antichrist is revealed in Scripture to be someone from Rome, from within the church, someone who puts himself as a vicar of Christ on earth, and someone who denies that you are saved by grace alone. So who is the Antichrist? It's not the devil. It's someone from within the church who claims to be ahead of the church. And the spirit of the Antichrist is found in every false teacher who wants God's people to not find Jesus in the flesh as the center of their worship and life, but their own works, their own actions, or a fundamentalism of love, and ignore the price of sin. John, in very simple terms, tells us, test the spirits. Many false prophets, he echoes the words of Christ, are in the world and have gone out. And those false prophets are following the spirit of the Antichrist. That is the one who diminishes and puts himself in the place of Christ. And one by one, the flock of God listens to the deception and the lies. John says, they even come out from us. And one by one, those who are deceived leave the flock of Christ and put themselves as their own savior. Watch out. Do not believe, but test. You know, when there's a product on the line of a company that has just a small bit of bacteria in it, and that bacteria is proven to get just one or two people sick from that product line, you know what the company does? Immediately, the company contacts all their distributors and all their stores, and from every day after and up to a week after that, everything within that production line is recalled. because they know it can get somebody sick from just a little bit of contamination. Now, I don't know about you, but if I hear that there's a product by a certain brand name, and in that brand name is a little bit of listeria or something that will get you very ill if you eat it or possibly kill you, I'm probably not going to go to the grocery store and pick that product off the shelf until I know that it's safe. That contamination, that little bit of contamination may not always be there, and it may not get everybody that buys that product sick, but it has the potential to. And if the person buying it does get that little bit of toxic food or infectious bacteria, it can cause a lot of harm. You know what, we'll treat restaurants that way, and we'll treat food on the shelf that way, and maybe even some people will be very careful about reading what they eat and careful about their diet. But what about when it comes to the food that you are fed spiritually, and the Word of God that you are taught, and the teachings that you take in, and the spirits that pop up around us to claim to be from God? Shouldn't we all the more take care when it comes to those teachings? John says, "Dear children, you are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one in the world." You might say, "Well, I'm not in danger of being a false teacher, and I don't feel right now I'm swallowing up any false teaching, but it sure feels like the world is conquering us with all the false teachings that are around us. It does seem like there are so many false teachers. Some of the largest churches are those that point out, make your life better, and don't point to Christ. So many of the largest teachers in the biggest denominations that point to people are pointing them to simply live your best life, instead of live a life under the cross and looking forward to our resurrection goal. And yet John reminds you, you are from God, and what you have is far greater than what they have. The numbers and ways of this world do not matter. He says they speak from the viewpoint or the perspective of this world, and the world listens to them. But we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. Don't worry about all the false teachers out there. As we make our way to the resurrection goal, we have the Word of God. We have been blessed with those who remain faithful to the Word to have teaching from God and real spiritual food, words of life. The words which John gives us as he says, "You, dear children," not just John's children, but children of God, "you are from God and you overcome the world." Because though the spirit of the Antichrist is working in the many false prophets of this world, and many in the world are listening because they speak from such a worldly perspective, we have the power of God, of one who came from God. And yes, the world thought he was merely a man from Nazareth, but he was from heaven. He came down from the Father's side, and that one from God came to be the sacrifice for sinners, and now he is alive, living as our shepherd, our good shepherd forever. He will guide his flock, he will feed his flock, and in him, and in all the faithful shepherds that he sends around the world still today, we will reach our resurrection goal. In him, who is our good shepherd. Amen.